Are you looking to upgrade your game on and off the field? Triple Crown Jewelry makes the cleanest jewelry in the game so you can show your style. Their jewelry is made by athletes for athletes with durability and style in mind. They make the best-selling number pendants and chains that you're already seeing on the field. Whether your style is gold, matte black, or silver, Triple Crown Jewelry has what you need. Personally, I'm more about the silver, but Triple Crown is ready for whatever your style. The chains look great. They're durable with a shine that stands out. And when you put it on, it has a nice heft to it. You can feel the quality. Your number is yours. It's part of your identity, and Triple Crown knows that. They have numbers from 00 to 99 available, so you can show your number, your identity, on and off the field. Their jewelry will never turn your neck green or fade. They're tarnish-resistant and made to last. These aren't just accessories. They're a statement of your dedication and love for the game. And that shine is unmatched. And in addition to choosing between the three different finishes, you can also choose from a variety of chains, including rope, Franco, and Cuban chains. So try it yourself. If you're ready to elevate your drip on and off the field, get some new drip at triplecrownjewelry.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 25% off your first order site-wide with promo code BA2022. That's BA2022 at triplecrownjewelry.com. And by doing so, you're supporting our podcast. Orders are shipped the same or next business day from New Jersey, and orders over $50 get free shipping. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make a statement both on and off the field. Go to triplecrownjewelry.com and lead the league in drip.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, everyone. JJ Cooper, Carlos Collazo on another Baseball America playoff podcast after what I think we have to say was especially the first game of the two was just a truly wild and very fascinating first day of the NLDSs. We have the Cardinals coming from behind and then hanging on to beat the Braves. And we also have the Dodgers just simply steamrolling the Nationals, especially the Nationals bullpen, for a 6-0 win in the nightcap, which still, I will say, still I've yet to have a I know this will change tonight, but I've yet to have a night where it's like at midnight I couldn't go to bed, midnight Eastern. It's been kind of nice as an old
Yeah, person. That actually has been pretty nice. It's something I kind of took for granted just because the games were so crazy last night. I got so invested in them. But, yeah, the Dodgers was a nice game to kind of cool down after. Not as intense back and forth. The Braves Cardinals game was really fun to watch, really throughout the entire game. You had a lot. You had some small ball early on. You had some good pitching, you had some big moments, you had some errors, and obviously you had a lot of other stuff going on besides what I mentioned.
You had base running both good and bad. Yeah. You had a great throw from the outfield, a fun debate about whether he should have been going or not. You had...
Oh, that was... I spent like maybe two innings trying to go find the shift and then figure out like the numbers of sending runners from third because I was so fascinated by... Is this the right decision? Is it not the right decision? I look up and the game's changed because so many other things have happened. But
forgotten by then.
I mean, that was a forgotten point. And at the time, I was like, oh, this is going to be a really like important play in the game. And it's almost an afterthought at this point. But
yes, so we're going to start with that one because that was the...
It was the first one.
It was the first one, but it also was... We've had, I would say right now, we're four games in to the playoffs. And we've had two just great games.
Yeah.
And that one was a great game from the standpoint of so much happening. Not every moment was great play, but it was a great game. The thing that strikes me, and then I'm going to tee you up to cover everything, but this is what happens sometimes in playoff games. Like, I felt like that the Braves had a plan. And as often can happen in a playoff game, the plan fell apart almost by something that could not be foreseen. Like, the plan was, here comes in Chris Martin. Martin, with a significant lead, has the eighth. I'll hand it to Melanson in the ninth.
Yep.
And then Chris Martin gets out there onto the mound, is doing his, you know, he's got his eight.
Yeah. Doesn't even throw an official pitch.
I'm done.
Yep.
And, okay,
I will say this as someone you follow the Braves you know a ton of Braves fans. What yes. do you think the Braves fans' thought was when they saw Luke Jackson trotting into the game? okay, he's got plenty of time. He's got all the time he needs to get warm. But that was not the that's a tough situation in general. Like, you literally go from you're not in the game to the game's on the line and you're the dude.
Yeah. Well, I think the general, at least the people that I follow on Twitter and kind of see coming up in my timeline, the general thought is, oh no, here we go. I mean, Atlanta fans have had some tough luck in the playoffs.
And they don't believe in their bullpen.
Regardless of the sport. But when you have one of your better bullpen arms come in not even be able to throw a pitch to start off the inning, and he's
and
out of the game.
The series.
Exactly. Obviously, they didn't know that at the time, the severity of the injury. But I think it was just kind of a general sense of foreboding. And then, obviously, it did not go well. Luke Jackson doesn't get out of the inning. Just 0.2 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 earned runs allowed, 1 strikeout. And then it gets worse from there. I mean, Mark Melancon, he's supposed to be the closer, kind of the shutdown guy, and he absolutely got lit up. I mean, 5 hits, 4 earned runs. I mean, the two of them combined for 6 runs, and really that's the loss
That's the game. Well, no.
That's the game. You go into it, you're up 3-1 in the 8th inning, you need 6 outs, and instead your bullpen gives up 6 runs.
And you still only lose by 1,
and you're
one,
down 7-3. Yeah, and that's the thing about this game that made it so great, is even after it was 7-3 in the top of the 9th, you're like, okay, this one's over, let's flip over the Dodgers. Well, people who did that, I mean, you missed it. Ronald Acuna came up and hit a monster 2-run home run.
And
Freddie Freeman follows that up with a solo home run. And all of a sudden, there's hope. And there's nothing more dangerous to a Braves fan than hope, because, let me tell you, it has not worked out well for them lately.
The thing that struck me about that baffled me, and I'll say this, with the Ronald Acuna cover from Baseball America looking over our shoulders.
Yeah.
I say this. And Ronald Acuna was our minor league player of the year. We think Ronald Acuna is one of the best players in baseball right now.
Of course.
All these things said, in the 9th inning when he hit that, he watched it. He stood there. He admired it. And I know it went out. But you know what? If there's ever going to be a home run in your life that you should just be like, okay, I'm going to hit this one. And do understand, if you're listening to this, I am not Mr. Never Admire a Home Run.
Yeah.
The Jose Bautista playoff bat flip, I loved it. Like, I'm not saying never do that.
Yeah.
But I am saying, in a game where you really did cost your team because you just kind of jogged out of the box on what you thought was a homer.
Yeah, which was not even anywhere close to being, it didn't go out. It was obviously not a no-doubt home run. Right. That one this has become the storyline now for Braves fans. And I think the Cardinals are dealing with some like right way to play on their own end at this point,
right,
as well.
The Cardinals are the
they're the right way to play team.
The Braves is like basically.
You've got Brian McCann, you've got Yadier Molina. We're going to figure out the right way to play baseball. But
right, and everyone else is like.
But the thing is, let's get this out of the way. Ronald Acuna made an obvious mistake in pimping a single. That should have been a double.
Yes, a double. 100%. Turned it into a single.
Exactly. When that happened live, I asked my roommate. I was like, "Wait, how is Ronald Acuna not on second base?" And he was like, "Oh, it took a crazy hop off the wall." I was like, "No." I was like, "He's faster than that. Like, he must have like loafed." He was like, "I don't think so." And then they showed the replay, and obviously he's pimping what he thinks is a home run.
Ronald Acuna. This is not Brian McCann coming out of the box.
Exactly. Yeah. it's no doubt extra bases off the bat. And the fact that he's not on second base is a poor decision. But let us be very clear. The only reason the Braves are in this game is because of Ronald Acuna. The guy went 3-for-4 with a home run, a double, 4 balls hit over 96 miles per hour. He has a sliding catch in the outfield. The Braves aren't in this game without Ronald Acuna.
No, again, there was no...
They did not lose this game because he loafed. But you can't do that in the playoffs.
Right. They lost this game because Mark Melancon gave up a double down the left field line and a double down the right field line.
Exactly.
Both of which, I will say, if you're a Braves fan, both of which on the replay, they were clearly fair.
Yeah.
At the same time, they were not fair by feet. They were fair by... But speaking of inches, okay, the other part of it that left out in that 9th inning, Ozzie Albies hits a grounder in the infield, and It's a bang-bang play at first. And replay clearly shows the ball in Paul Goldschmidt's glove mm-hmm. before Albie's foot hits the bag. And I'm talking, it is like three frames before.
Yeah.
But then the question becomes, which is almost impossible to tell on the replay, is, was his toe still on?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that one was tough. Like you said, it was kind of hard to tell. I don't think we need to make too much of an issue of this one. It's hard to overturn. They left it with the call on the field. I think it was the right call. I don't know if this is a game changer. It's kind of more another what-if question that Braves fans can ask themselves. But, I mean, yeah, in the end, the Braves lose this one because of the bullpen. A really nice job by the Cardinals to kind of keep battling there in the eighth or ninth, not to take any credit away from what they did offensively. I'm curious about what you thought of Dallas Keuchel in this game. I mean, he was getting hit very hard, but they were all on the ground.
Right.
So
you can't be hurt. That's the Dallas Keuchel experience. And by the way, that is Dallas Keuchel is way better on a team like the Braves than mm-hmm. he would be on a team with an infield of butchers. Because the reality of it is that having Josh Donaldson at third base with Dallas Keuchel is a very good combo.
No doubt.
And it was a very good combo in that game. I mean, Donaldson had a couple of explosions.
He had three or four. He had multiple double plays on pretty tough balls going to his backhand, coming across third base bag and making a nice throw. And then he had some
sensational third base play. Because
really
also,
good.
Anthony Rendon, I know it wasn't.
Oh, that was a fabulous play he had in the second game.
I know it wasn't an out.
Yeah.
Although it did, I would say at the time it saved a run because, like, if that ball goes. But the ability to make that play, you lay out mm-hmm. to your backside. I don't care how you control your head. The collision with the ground means that your head is somewhat, you know, like, it's not steady.
Yeah.
But still able to see that the ball took like a high hop, throw his glove up and get it. Yeah, you know, that was amazing.
Yeah,
and again,
pretty remarkable
play.
The
thing that I love about playoff baseball every year, but it just stands out, how good the quality of play is, how good these players are. It's amazing. It really is. But yeah, I mean, the one thing I kind of wanted to wrap up on that Braves-Cardinals game is we have talked more Braves than Cardinals. Like, if you're the Cardinals, how good do you feel like right now? From the standpoint of you've got Flaherty going on the mound.
You have to feel great. I mean, you've pretty much removed the home field advantage at this point for the Braves. That doesn't exist now. You're up 1-0 in the series. You only need two more wins. The Braves just announced they have to bring Julio Teheran onto their roster,
who's going to
pitch game four. So you have to like that, I would imagine, if you're a Cardinals fan. No, you have to feel good. I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to come into SunTrust Park. You want to get game one and put the Braves on their heels, and that's exactly what they did. They probably want to play better defense moving forward. But I think their lineup, the thing that we talked about prior to this game is their lineup, while it doesn't have maybe the star power at the top, as some of these other clubs, we talk about the kind of the core four of the Braves lineup. Maybe the Cardinals don't have a core four at the top that's that impressive, but they're deep throughout the lineup. And you saw that last night. They really hit the ball hard throughout the lineup. Everyone was doing something, chipping away. And really what we haven't touched on at all is Paul Goldschmidt. He has had one of his worst years basically since his debut season, and he still had like a 115 OPS plus. I think that really speaks to his talent as a hitter. And the fact that you can have him in the middle of your lineup and rely on him despite a down year is a really good thing to have. So I'm looking forward to watching more of Goldschmidt in the playoffs moving forward. But no, a very fun series to start. And obviously this next game for the Braves is a must win. So.
And by the way, today in some ways is, it's one of the best days of the year of baseball. Like the cavalcade of it doesn't stop. The only downside is that this is a two-screen day. I mean, this is, you need to be.
You might not be getting to bed before midnight if you're watching all the action tonight. Well, I guess we can get into the games after we touch on Dodgers a bit more. But
for the Dodgers, a couple things that stand out. One, Walker Buehler is absolutely, we get questions all the time. You get questions about college and high school guys. Is this guy a true, got a chance to be a true number one?
Yeah.
We get all the time about
mostly
prospects.
It's just safe to say no.
Is he a number one? Walker Buehler's a number one.
Yeah.
Walker Buehler, I mean,
I mean, six innings.
Everything you want to see. Like, if you said, okay, could you please give me the definition of what a number one starter looks like, what a true ace looks like? And he's not the only one out there, obviously. Mm-hmm. But what you saw last night, which, by the way, it's not like you can't do it one time and mm-hmm. be an ace, but he's not doing it one time. This is Walker Buehler playoff.
Yeah, I mean, he had his coming out party in the playoffs last year. And what he did last night, I mean, you see why on a team with Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler is the guy.
And ERA champ, Hyun-Jun Yoo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are three pitchers on this team that most teams in baseball would be perfectly happy starting game one of a playoff series. Walker Buehler is the guy on this team. Six innings, one hit, three walks, eight strikeouts. I mean, as a staff, the Dodgers allowed two hits over this game. Obviously, it was a shutout. There wasn't much going on the other side offensively. But, I mean, this is why the Dodgers are so dangerous. They've got an incredibly deep lineup. They've got great pitching.
That was the thing. Okay. We talked about yesterday going into this series. I talked about how deep this lineup is. And mm-hmm. by the way, like, again, when you have the Gavin Luxes of the world coming off the bench.
Yes.
When
What a moment for him.
What a moment for him. When you have Jock Peterson, who... I mean, we could talk about the home run. The foul ball to me.
Yeah, JJ is way more excited about this foul ball he pulled off.
Almost left the ballpark at Dodger Stadium.
The home run was amazing. I mean, just that swing, the amount of force and the amount of power. And he was clearly going for one thing in this entire at bat.
Which, by the way,
and he did it.
You know, and it worked. But beyond the depth of the lineup, the other thing that stands out is that the only real weakness that this Dodgers team may have is the bullpen.
And that's only relative to their other strengths.
And the other part of it is, though, is that we saw last night in a game which, hey, Patrick Corbin, it wasn't a picture-perfect Patrick Corbin start.
Yeah, five walks is...
But he left that game. He could walk off the mound going, you know what?
I gave him a chance.
A good chance.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the reality is in hindsight, if you never score a run, I promise you, you're not going to win the
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
But he walks off, and you're like, okay, starter to starter, slight edge Dodgers there. But the reality of it is that Fernando Rodney, not so great. But more than that, like, I don't know if Hunter Strickland, I do wonder, can you pitch him again in this series? And and that's an overreaction.
Probably so.
However.
But it's a good question.
Hunter Strickland, come playoff time, is if you could take playoff Hunter Strickland and put him in the home run derby at the All-Star game, he'd be the best pitcher possible for it. Because,
oh, no.
I mean, it is truly unreal how Hunter Strickland steps on the mound in the playoffs and homers just happen. And I do, I mean, I'm not just making light of it. Mm-hmm. I do wonder... If you're Dave Martinez, if you're the Nationals, are you really going to want him, again, not in any game, but are you going to want him in a reasonably close game the rest of postseason? I mean, I will give you his stat line.
Yeah, I was just pulling this up. It's unbelievable.
12 appearances, 12 innings. 12 hits. 12 hits doesn't sound too bad. It's one hit per inning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Only three walks. So he's only allowed 15 base runners in 12 innings. Okay. You know, oh, 12 no. strikeouts.
Oh, no.
Okay. But yeah, so it's eight home runs.
That's the dagger right there. That is not good.
I mean,
a 6.75 ERA is not going
to
cut it.
Put it in a different way. Hunter Strickland has made, you know,
oh, no.
If he goes out there and steps on the mound in a playoff game, there's a better than 50% shot that he's going to give up a homer, you know, so far in his career. And so,
I'm sorry.
What I'm saying, though, is if you're the Nationals,
yeah,
good lineup, your lineup's not as good as the Dodgers.
No.
Really good pitching staff, but the starting pitching staff, the Dodgers can match you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they have an edge in the bullpen either.
Oh, of course they don't.
So
they definitely don't. They maybe have the worst bullpen in the playoffs.
Right. So, I guess what I'm saying is I was saying yesterday, before the game, I thought the Dodgers were going to win this series, and I thought it was like one of the ones I was more confident in. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, obviously after game one, I'm more confident that this does not look good for the Nationals.
Yeah.
So then we move it on to, we got four games today.
Yeah, we do. So the schedule is chalked. We get started at 2:05 p.m. Eastern time today. Houston, Tampa Bay Rays, first game of that series. Then we'll get game two of Braves, Cardinals at 4:37 p.m. So we got two games starting before most of y'all's work days are over.
And ours, but great thing for us is I got to watch that. It's work.
Yeah. After that, we've got the first game of Yankees, Twins, 7:07 p.m. Eastern time, and then game two of Dodgers, Nationals at 9:37. So it's a chock full lineup. What are you looking forward to in the Astros and the Yankees series kicking off? Anything other than just seeing those games?
No, I think that this Astros team is just, with the Dodgers, it's just one of the two teams in this that's almost like the platonic ideal of what you want to see in a playoff team. But that said, I do think that the Rays are... The Rays are absolutely capable of beating them. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the starting pitchers, like, it's not like, again, if you're going over the course of the season, Cole, Verlander, Greinke advantage over, you know, Glasnow, Snell, Morton, and all. But that said, I mean, I would not put it out of it in any way for Tyler Glasnow to go out there and just shove.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, I mean, if you're a Rays fan, you've got to be pretty confident in your pitching. It's just a matter of what your offense is going to be able to do against this monstrous Houston pitching staff, and that's going to be what's fun to watch. But like you said, with any of these series, I wouldn't be shocked if anyone won.
It's
a baseball series. Yeah. Regardless of how strong your team is, anything can happen in a relatively small sample. But
again, I would say, I would put it a 65% shot the Astros advance.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I couldn't argue with that. And then Yankees Twins. Twins fans maybe not too excited about having to face the Yankees again in the playoffs.
It has not been
a great history there. But again, they've been a very and actually this one, I mean, two of the most powerful teams in baseball as far as home run hitting ability. So that'll be fun. Maybe we'll get some more dingers.
I think almost assuredly will.
Yes.
It is very impressive, very impressive what the Twins have done this year.
Yep.
If they win this series, it'll be very impressive because this is – the Brewers did not advance. The Brewers would be the other one. I would kind of say this, although I think it's even more true with the Twins. Mm. They're gonna turn this over to the bullpen. They want this series to be a battle of bullpens because, I mean, you look at their prospective rotation right now.
Yeah.
And Michael Pineda's not there. He's suspended. And – J.O. Berrios has been erratic at best down the stretch. Mm. And Martin Perez had a great first half of the season, but right now I don't think you really want him out there for three innings, much less five. I mean, we may see, wouldn't shock me to see Randy Dobnak start a game in the playoffs, which if anyone in the world, including anyone in Randy Dobnak's family, made that prediction and can prove they made that prediction for the season, that's the greatest prediction of all time.
Yeah.
Because, that's just that is not a plausible statement to make anywhere, you know, since I remember talking, you know, I'm glad we got Randy Dobnak onto our midseason top 30. Glad we did. Gotten some notes like, hey, this guy's pretty interesting at AA.
Yeah.
I would never have imagined at the time that we'd be talking about, you know, I think the Dobnak could give him, you know, a few good innings there as a start. Mm-hmm. You know, again, this is going to be really for both these teams, either the Twins or the Yankees, it's going to be how much can you just bash the other team's submission. And both these teams can do that.
Yep.
I mean, there's just, those lineups are relentless. That is not a game that I would expect to say, that game took a tight 2:45.
Yeah.
I would expect 3 hours 30, 3:45 on those games.
Yep, well, it'll be fun regardless. Looking forward to it all. Thank you guys for listening. As always, we'll be back here again next Monday.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
We'll have too much to talk about. We might have to go a little bit longer than we have the past couple days. But thank you all for listening. Thank you for checking out Baseball America and subscribers. Thank you, as always, for supporting the work we do.
And
go ahead,
along those lines, so it's a cool day today. We are sending Head of the Class,
yes,
a new book, to the printer today. I mean, it will be out again. It takes a while to be printed and all that. But so in the not too distant future, we'll be shipping out this book. If you want to check it out, store.baseballamerica.com. It is our look. It is our telling the story of the history of college baseball. So of the last, you know, really college baseball period, but especially in the Baseball America era. I think you'll love it. Check it out, store.baseballamerica.com. For Carlos Collazo, I'm JJ Cooper. So long, everybody.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save